Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by the number one New York Times bestselling author, Lisa Gardner, who is out with her brand new novel. It is called Still See You Everywhere. It is the newest Frankie Elkin novel, and it is a fantastically entertaining and exciting read. And Lisa, you've been in this game for now 30 years of marketing and writing books and making and entertainment and all of that. But before we get into this book, I'm curious, over those decades, what is now your major competition and competition for writers in general? Is it streaming services? Is it phones? Or where do you think I just don't see as many people sitting in airports reading books like I did 30 years ago. So where does your competition come from?
You know, it's hard to say because, you know, people can be reading books on their Kindle. I would almost argue our hardest competition now is just attention span. People are moving at such a fast pace, and thank heavens for thrillers, because at least I'm writing fast-paced novels that get people to slow down. And, you know, reading a book can be a good, nice 4 to 8 hours, like relaxing, enjoyable, pay attention 48 hours, and that's just harder and harder for people to do in their busy lives.
Is it almost like religion where you don't see the young people involved, or do you have young readers coming in, or are your readers more people, you know, in their mid-40s and beyond?
For my thriller novels, my target market is really, you know, middle-aged and above, particularly for someone like Frankie Elkin, who's a missing persons expert. But the young adult market is booming. And interesting enough, I think Gen Z grew up on Harry Potter. They're going to be one of our bigger reading audiences today.
Does it almost have to be a situation where the characters that they like aren't necessarily just book characters? They have to be also into some other format like television. I know that yours have gone on to other forms of entertainment with streaming services, but can a character just survive as a book for young people?
Yeah, and interesting enough, I think all the classics are coming back. You know, if you see, like, you know, Reacher, who's become very famous, he's basically the lone gunman. Frankie Elkin, my character, you know, because she's going from town to town trying to look for people that have been forgotten. She's been compared to kind of that Western model, that lone gunman. You look at some of the other shows out there, and the gothics are back in a big way. Like, all these big authors that are emerging now, it is almost a holding back to a dark, stormy night in a creaky mansion and what's behind that locked door. There's certain stories, human nature is drawn to, and we will just always come back to those again and again.
Oh, I love the character of Frankie Elkin. You know, she's out trying to help people. She's not a cop, so she's not bound by the constitutional limitations that police are under, but she is out there, and she's driven by basically a desire. It's maybe a self-fulfilling prophecy. She's just a desire to help people, and so as you put this book together, I think you accomplished two things. Number one, it's such a character-driven story. Usually you don't see that in thrillers. The story drives the thrillers, but here it's such a character-driven story, and then secondly, it's almost a closed room because she's in such a remote location. Is that sort of the perfect combination for a thriller?
Yes, and actually it occurred to me right after I said that, you know, Still See You Everywhere is the closed room mystery, which is Agatha Christie. I mean, we're still coming back to the basics. I think we love the riddle of it. I think we also love that sensation that, you know, the danger is that close. It's the person sitting beside you. In Frankie's case, she has been summoned to this remote atoll looking for a young girl that might have been kidnapped 15 years ago, and there's only 12 people, and they're all strangers, and they're off the grid, and there's no chance of rescue, and there's no hope of escape, and someone somewhere did something terrible, but which one?
I almost thought of the song "A Spoonful of Sugar" as I read your book, and this may be a weird comparison, but it was when I first heard. I had just heard maybe a one sentence that Frankie Elkin was going to help a convicted serial killer who was on death row try to find a family member, a missing family member, who she found out was alive. And I thought, oh, we're going to have a murderous guy on death row, and Frankie's going to be torn whether to help him. Well, instead of, you know, Spoonful of Sugar, where the medicine goes down when the music actually goes up, you went with a female serial killer, which is so rare. And I thought, boy, what a great way to do that in a thriller. And so as you considered with the character of the beautiful butcher, when you made it a female, what did that add to your story that you couldn't have had if you had the normal trope of a dying man for a being a serial killer?
Not going to lie, the beautiful butcher is my new favorite character. I recommend people not eat bacon while reading this novel. I love how unrepentant she is in her rage. She grew up in an environment where she was either going to be the predator or the prey, and she decided she didn't want to be the prey any longer. And that gives both a strength and kind of horror to her, but also a relatability. And again, most of my audience is women. I think they can relate to that. The male serial killer has been done so many times, it's just not compelling.
Do you find, as you do research into these books, that you can ever really get into the mind of somebody? Because it seems Frankie Elkin has her own mind about her, and she's got the alcoholism that really drives her, and I think keeping her busy maybe keeps her off of alcohol, because I think she said that just breathing is her trigger for drinking. It's not even smelling liquor. But can you really get into these people's minds if you haven't lived the life?
Yeah, I'm actually a character-driven writer, and it's the psychology of it all that got me into writing. I mean, I started with, you know, criminal profilers and writing about serial killers, and yes, why are there more men, male serial killers than female serial killers, and there's differences in psychology that account for that. For someone like Frankie, she is an addict. She is compulsive. She is self-destructive. But she's also aware of it, and she's vulnerable, and she's trying really hard to take these traits that have caused her to make some very bad decisions in her life and now channel them to a good purpose. You know, she is compulsively looking to help others. Because of her own choices, she's highly relatable, and she blends in marginalized communities. I mean, that's where she's grown up. She's comfortable there, and she's a great listener because she doesn't judge, because, yeah, she's been there and done that herself.
Frankie Elk is always looking for somebody, and so as this book sort of molded around in your brain and you came up with the idea for it, where did the story start? Did it start with the serial killer, or did it start with Frankie?
It really started with Frankie. There's so many cases in the news now. I think there's a growing national awareness of just how unjust our justice system is. There are hundreds of thousands of missing persons cases a year. Most of us will never hear of. And it's one of the things that I think it's just kind of a tragedy that there's so many people that are not seen in life, and they're not even noticed when they vanish. I feel like as a community, as neighbors, we ought to be able to do a little better than that, but we haven't. And so Frankie's our crusader. She's the one trying to step into these gaps and make a difference.
Well, I think the original inspiration for Frankie, and I may be misremembering this, but it was somebody who was looking for missing Native children from tribal lands, and so that's a very marginalized group. Serial killers are also a marginalized group because for all the sins that they committed, they're still human beings with family and with certain feelings, and so do you see the Kaylee Pearson, the beautiful butcher here, as one of those marginalized groups that really a cop isn't going to look for a serial killer's family, but Frankie Elkin would?
Yeah, there's a reason the beautiful butcher reaches out to Frankie. And there's things there Frankie relates to. When you have that kind of past of trauma and abuse, I mean, there's only a few ways your life is going to move. And she's like, you know, now the state is eager to, you know, execute Kaylee Pearson for these crimes they committed. But where was the same state, you know, when her father was beating the crap out of them and, you know, nearly killing her mom? And the system fails us all in many ways, and I think we know that. I don't think that's a surprise. But I think one of the appeals of suspense is to have that hero's journey where this one person still feels she can make a difference, because it gives the rest of us some hope.
And what's true in all your books is the complexity of the human condition and of just human beings in general. That's just fodder for thriller writers, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, in this day and age, we like to read things where good versus bad, but the good's going to win, and you can get some closure, and you can get a sense of catharsis. We just don't get that anymore in our everyday lives, and certainly not reading the news.
Well, the book is called Still See You Everywhere. It's the latest book from Lisa Gardner. It's in the Frankie Elkin series. It's available everywhere. And Lisa, just a fantastic thriller. It entertained me for a few hours one night, and I loved it, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so much, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakalskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
I still see you.